9FM. This is Kitchen Sink, and I'm your host, Paige. This is your station for all things groovy, psychedelic, dab rock, grunge rock, everything but the kitchen sink. Today's very exciting because I have a little interview for you guys. We're going to start off with some music. Today's going to be a different mix of everything. We're going to do some 90s, some now, some new stuff, everything. So I'm really excited. It's also a sad day. I'm graduating this year, for those of you that have been listening. Or if this is your first time tuning in, my name is Paige, and I've been doing this show for about 2 years now, and this one is my last one. It's so sad. So I wanted to give you, in true Kitchen Sink fashion, everything today. So we're starting off with some fun sort of 90s and 80s. We're going to do How's It Gonna Be by Third Eye Blind, You Don't Know How It Feels by Tom Petty, and We're Here for a Good Time by Trooper. And then after, we're going to get into an interview with one of my favorite bands around Queens and Kingston, Carnelian. So we have a couple members from the band in here today in studio to talk a little bit about their background here in Kingston and just the band as a whole. So that's going to be super exciting. And then after, I'm going to play one of their newer singles, Susie, which I'm excited about. So after music, we're going to do some of a Carnelian interview. But for now, we're going to do How's It Gonna Be by Third Eye Blind, You Don't Know How It Feels by Tom Petty, and We're Here for a Good Time, Not a Long Time by Trooper, one of my favorites.
I'm only free. don't give a damn for me. But let me get to the point. Let's roll another joint and turn the radio loud. I'm too alone to be proud, and you don't know how it feels. You don't know.
You're listening to 101.9 FM. This is Kitchen Sink, and I'm here with two very awesome members of Carnelian. So say hi.
Hey, my name's Grayson.
My name's Ryan.
And I'm super excited to have you guys here. I've been doing the show for 2 years. You guys have been on my list. How long have you been part of Carnelian now? And how did you start the band? Let's just start with quick introduction about what your sound is like, just for the listeners who haven't heard of you before.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much. I mean, yeah, we're super excited to be here. We've been around for now, I guess, almost a year and a half. We started beginning of September of 2023. So beginning of third year for us. We're now in our fourth year. So we've just been around the Kingston, Queens community for a while, playing everywhere from Clark to the Mansion, and now Ale coming up. It's the light of our life. It's something that brings us so much joy, something we're really happy to keep doing.
Yeah, we started at Clark Hall, and then we became the house band for the entire year. It was a great, great opportunity. We got to play such great shows. And yeah, we stuck around, you know, stayed at the Mansion, went back to Clark, and now doing Ale. So, you know, we're keeping busy.
I mean, you guys, for being relatively new, everybody knows who you are on campus. You have, like, you just make an impact. I'm like, anyone that has gone to Ale, anyone, they see you in the Arc selling your merch. You're just everywhere. You got posters everywhere. It's awesome. I mean, not many, like, Queens bands can say that, where if you say, oh, do you know Carnelian? And people are like, yeah, I know Carnelian. I saw them at Ale. I saw them at Clark. I saw them at the Mansion. It's such a great thing to see, like, the music and live music here in Kingston. So the music that you play, because you're part of the Queens community, do you find that you kind of have a voice of Queens? Do you try to put that into your sets that you, because you're all Queens students. Mm-hmm. So do you think the music that you play is reflective of the Queens community?
I think, well, first of all, thank you so much. I mean, it is such an honor hearing what you say about us. And I think that's something that brings us so much joy is obviously having people heard about us and saying they've seen us and have come out to shows. And we've experienced it a bit when people say, like, whenever we meet someone new and sometimes they recognize us and they say they saw us at a show, and that's such a great feeling. I feel like it's a bit of a pressure to say that we're representing Queens, but I think it's something we try to do well. And I think a lot of the inspiration for that has come from past bands, like specifically like Kings of Queens. Like, I mean, you're talking about recognizable names on campus. Like, I think they're always going to be a recognizable name as a band, especially coming out of this COVID era and then just hitting the ground running and getting the music scene kickstarted and reignited in Kingston and Queens was really so cool to see. And that's what inspired us to start. And then starting Ale and stuff. And so they're really a big inspiration for us. And it's really, I'm really proud to be able to kind of represent Queens in the same way or a similar fashion that they did. When we write songs, I don't think we ever have the intention of let's make a Kingston reference or a Queens reference, but I think a lot of what we write in songs and a lot of the style of our music can be representative of what some people at Queens go through. But I think maybe on a more broader scale for just our age group and our demographic.
Yeah, kind of, you know, touching on that, you know, age group demographic, you know, that feel-good feeling, the post-pandemic, you know, live music's back, we're back in venues, you know, representing that side of the student culture, something I take into consideration a lot, you know, when bringing the energy live and picking a set, when doing anything, writing the music. So, you know, kind of representing, you know, the student part, you know, having a great time and, you know, being with your friends. Another thing, friends, that's a big part of our, you know, culture. We try to, you know, embrace having fun with your friends at our shows. So kind of that student culture life, we love to kind of take into consideration as we go into shows or music or anything Carnelian based.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because you bring up Kings of Queens. They were my first interview here at Kitchen Sink. They were so funny and it was so sketchy. They came to my house because there was no studios open and they were like, what am I doing in this girl's house? But they were so sweet and they had a lot to say about, like, I mean, yeah, they really just kicked off the COVID era. They came back, live music had kind of taken a little bit of a toll because there's, you know, DJs and stuff like that, and it really picked up after the pandemic because of them. I will, like, give them that sort of torch. So do you find, so you talk about, you know, you want that sort of friends background when you're, you play a lot of backyards. Do you find that that kind of helps inspire the sort of theme? Because you guys have a very much like a fun partying sort of sound. Do you find, A, like it's a two-parter question. What was your favorite backyard party that you played, or do you have any funny memories from that? And B, do you think that that has kind of helped make your sound that you've been playing in backyards for a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think it could be, like, you might think it's an exaggeration to say, but starting this band was literally a dream come true, because I remember all throughout, in first year, every single time I heard Kilby Girl, the only thing I was thinking of was playing that song for a backyard full of my friends. And that is a dream that honestly did come true. And we've made it come true in backyards and bars and now at Ale. And we've done a few backyard concerts, but unfortunately the Kingston Police don't like us very much. And so they...
That's the rock and roll lifestyle.
Exactly.
What can you say?
They're not a big fan. I think we've tried, what, 4 or 5 times? And like, I think there's only been twice where it's gone...
As planned,
right, without the police intervening. The first one we did was on HOCO in third year, so last year in 2023, and that was in my backyard, and it was good, but it was like our speakers weren't loud enough. I think you couldn't hear any music really past like 3 rows back, so we wanted to step it up, and then we tried to do a St. Paddy's one last year. But yeah, cops came by and they were not happy, shut it down with, I think we got 3 songs in. And so, but there was a lot of work that went into that. If we're talking about, I think our band, we'd love to just do things on our own and just figure things out, do it yourself when it comes to our music. And then also for our show, like I remember the reason we did this was because we couldn't get a bar or venue booked. They were all pretty booked up around St. Paddy's and all of April. So we were like, okay, well, why don't we try building our own venue? And our buddy Rowan, he had a backyard with a good amount of space and he was super down for this. So him and I rented a U-Haul and we found some pallets on Facebook Marketplace and we went and picked them up. And then we went to Home Depot, got some plywood. And then we all threw it in his backyard. We had about 20 skids and I called up all my friends and there was, I think we got 15 people to come out. And we threw the wood on top of the skids and just nailed it in with a hammer.
It sounds like a health hazard and
yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it was not OSHA
crazy.
Certified or anything, but we were not wearing hard hats, but it worked. We made a little stage that was about like 2 pallets tall and I think it was like 3x3. So it was a good size stage.
Yeah.
And we used that for St. Paddy's. We rented these massive speakers and this mixing board and had to mic up our amps so that we had a good sound and everything was balanced. Cops came, shut it down, and we're like, well, there goes all that work. There goes $500 worth of setting this up. So then we were like, we cannot let this thing go to waste. So at the end of last year, right before exams, we put on kind of a farewell show right in the backyard again. And it was just kind of word of mouth. Yeah, it wasn't too much. It was we treated it like a party. We said, hey, we're playing back here. Bring whoever. It's going to be a lot of fun. So it was a lot of classmates, a lot of friends. We set up a tent because it was raining. We had to set up lights because it was dark. But that was probably one of my favorite shows we've ever played because it was just relaxed, casual, fun. We were playing for 3 hours long. We were playing songs horribly, but people didn't care. People were singing along. We were playing songs we had never tried before. And I think that's always going to be one of my favorite memories we've had as a band.
Yeah, I'm really happy we got a photographer for that. We had I think one of our friends shoot it, and the memories we have from that are just going to be forever now that we have those pictures, you know, kind of ingrained. And the best moment from it, I think, is what you asked, was probably Duncan crowd surfing from that day. That was kind of the start of him going off stage. He did that a couple times. He still does that. And that was kind of the start of it, him crowd surfing at that party. But so, you know, having that close and the kind of relaxed atmosphere allowed him to get comfortable and do that. So that's why I like doing that, because we all just seem so much more comfortable and having fun with our friends. And yeah.
Yeah, no, that sounds so fun. I mean, I saw in people's stories, it was like a total, it was just going around everywhere. And you spoke about wanting to sing Can We Girl For Your Friends. Did you both grow up kind of wanting to be in a band, or was it something that came to you? Can you speak on behalf of some of your bandmates? Did you think that a band was something that you always were going to be part of? Did you grow up singing, playing guitar, or did it just kind of happen as you started university or some people start in COVID?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been playing for a while, but I remember like growing up, a band was never really too much on my mind. But in high school, one of my buddies was in a band and he invited me to join. I was just kind of doing rhythm guitar, or I would go on piano, or I'd do bass sometimes. I was kind of just an extra hand in there to help out. And he was someone I really looked up to because he had this beautiful voice and these beautiful songs that he was writing for a 16-year-old, which was just super impressive. And he kind of really just showed me the ropes on how a band works, how you should run rehearsals, how to write a song properly, what it's like, the proper etiquette at a venue, booking a venue. So I learned a lot from him back in high school, pre-COVID. And then COVID happened, and it kind of left my mind because I was just, obviously this isn't going to happen anytime soon. But bringing it back, like when I saw Kings of Queens start going, I remember being in second year and thinking, shoot, I want to do that. I gotta do this again. And it's something, it kind of just reignited that flame for me. And yeah.
Me, growing up, not necessarily. I got more into, it was interesting to me in high school when I got more into, grunge music and all that different type of bands. And, it was always, after that, I was like, yeah, it might be of interest, but I didn't have as much courage to, pick up a guitar and start learning. I did theater growing up, so I was on stage, but I didn't really have a guitar in my hand and I wasn't jumping around. But I met Duncan first year. We were really just floor mates, like two doors down, and he taught me guitar. And then it just from there, we were like, man, me and Duncan, we got to do a band together, man, one day. So, we started just kind of jamming out in our garage, and then we met Grayson, and then everything just went from there. So I would say for me, it was kind of being in university and having, hey, all my friends are here. I have Duncan right there. We could just jam anytime we want. Like, why not start a band? So yeah, for me, it was more university.
It was a very, very organic thing, kind of just using all of our connections and having people that supported us to really keep it going. And that's how I just saw Ross and Duncan doing a bit of stuff. Duncan, I met through class. And honestly, you guys were probably the only ones I really knew that played music. So it was kind of just all I had at the time.
Yeah.
not to discredit that, and I'm so happy I got these guys. But it is, I think that's something to be said about how lucky we got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that sounds amazing. It's great when it's organic and it just happens. Some bands are kind of formed through clubs and stuff like that. I mean, this isn't the X Factor. It's fun to have people kind of join themselves together.
Yeah.
And so I kind of want to move away from live performance and that sort of section of it. I want to talk about your single, Susie. Mm-hmm. Is there a girl that this is after? Is this song written for someone here at Queens? Or is it just, sometimes it's a metaphor for something? I wanted to hear a little bit about where that single came from, what your writing process is like.
Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, so I wrote the song, the lyrics at least, and it was over the summer. And I had just gotten back from Cuba, and there was a girl that I met on the trip, and she was the only girl only other person I've met who knew this one band that I know, and we really bonded over that, and so you could say a lot of the song is about her. There are some lines that I kind of just have thrown in to kind of fill the space. But I'd say at its core, Susie is about this mysterious Cuba girl, you could say. But yeah, that was a good time.
I did not write lyrics, so I can't necessarily relate to that of Grayson, but sure, I guess my bass line could be inspired by someone.
Do you find that you write anything for the band as like the bassist?
Not lyrically, I'll tell you. Not like with Grayson. A lot of our songwriting, which I'm sure we'll touch on, comes from Grayson's melody, and then we kind of build from there, which I'm sure we'll touch on in a bit.
I think the songwriting process that I have and that we share as a band is, or the step-by-step process is, when it comes to lyrics, that's always how it starts. And so lyrics are always something tricky. I've never really been able to sit down and just write. A lot of the times the best lyrics and lines that come to me, they just come to me randomly. So I'm just always keeping my phone on me and the notes app is ready. And I just have like these big notes apps of just certain points and times of what I'm feeling. And for like a week or 2 weeks or up to a month, I'll just be adding to this note random things that I think of. And then eventually I'll kind of start writing and try to piece together some of these things or I'll just start venting to my notes app and then I'll think, okay, well, how can I make this rhyme? And then that's kind of how a lot of the songs and lyrics have started. I'll try to bring some chords, but I don't focus too much on the instrumentals because I know as soon as I bring it to the guys, the instrumentals are going to change and the chords are going to change. So I really just want to have those lyrics and have these things that this meat of the song ready, and then I can bring it to everyone and get their thoughts and what do you think of this, and then okay, if we're trying this in a different way, I can change the melody of these lyrics. So it's never what I originally intend, and I know that's not a bad thing because a lot of the times I want it to represent us, right? And whatever our sound is represents all of us, and it should come from all of us. So whatever I come up with isn't necessarily what the final product's going to be.
And do you have new singles on the way? Are you guys looking to release some stuff soon? What's next for Carnelian?
Well, so we've been recording and we've been writing, and so we're going to kick it into high gear, I think, next week when things get a little less busy. But we're really, really hoping to get this EP out this summer. Hopefully near June, I'm thinking. Yeah. But we've got originals. I think we've got about 6 originals now. And the fact that we only have 2 out is criminal. So I think we need to, we're going to keep recording, right in Ross's bedroom, with Angus, and, we'll just keep getting these new songs down. We were putting one together today, getting it ready for Thursday for our show at Ale. And I think people will really, really like this one, and this will be on the EP for sure.
That's so exciting. Well, we're coming down to the end of it. Is there anything you want to share with the listeners of Kitchen Sink before we go? And I just want to say thank you for being my last interview here at Kitchen Sink. I've been wanting to have you guys on forever. It's been so fun just to learn a little bit about you guys. I see you all over campus. So exciting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there at Ale and Amps. Sorry, I can't speak right now. But anything you want to say to the listener before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much. Thank you for having us. I think we can say it's a big honor to be on the last show. And yeah, you can see us, you can follow us on Instagram at Carnelian Band. And come check us out this Thursday at the Ale House. We'll be playing. And yeah, thanks so much.
All right, thank you. If you're just tuning in now, this is 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Paige, and this is Kitchen Sink. You just listened to Susie by Carnelian, who I had on the show, Touch of Grey by Grateful Dead, and A Matter of Trust by Billy Joel. You can check out Carnelian. If you're not here listening to Kitchen Sink, I hope you're at Ale and Amps seeing them perform, because they have the most fun sort of sound, along with the Clay Pigeons and Jinx. So if you're not here, I hope you're there. So let's keep it going with some music, because this is my last show and I want to play as much as I can. So we're going to do Fly By Night by Rush, My Friends by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Another Sunday by I Mother Earth, and I will be back.
Fly by night away from here. Change my life. get to sleep in. Weird noises are implying threats on cold sheets of sweat. On any other day, it's all rest and flowers, and a long night of nothing. In the morning, some coffee. 'Cause when the sun goes down, you close your eyes and think that you might wake in the same place. I'm out of my head, that was what they said. There was no way I would ever trust again. There's something that fills you up, and it fills you up.
You're back with 101.9 FM. This is Kitchen Sink. You just heard Fly By Night by Rush, My Friends by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Another Sunday by I, Mother Earth. This is the coming to the end of my show, and for all the listeners out there, if this is your first time listening, this will also be your last time listening. And if you're a regular here at Kitchen Sink, I want to thank you so much for, you know, 2 great years of a ton of psychedelic rock, groovy rock, dad rock. If you didn't like it, I hope your granddad or your dad did. So thank you once again. This is Paige. I'm signing off at 101.9 FM. This was Kitchen Sink.
Have you ever felt like you are walking on eggshells in your relationship? Have you ever felt like you are being overshadowed by your partner and pushed off to the side? Or do you know anyone who has experienced this? These feelings are more common than you think. Women Aware is a Montreal-based organization looking to support anyone in a toxic relationship. If you have any questions about your relationship, call us at 514-489-1110.
We'll listen to your vent and we could talk through what's going on in your relationship. Walking on eggshells can look like keeping silent to keep the peace, worrying about your partner's reactions, constant stress around your partner, an emotional roller coaster, or emotional fatigue. These are all things you should be talking about with well-informed, supportive people who have your back. And that's what we do at Women Aware. We always prioritize your safety and we can also direct you to resources.
Once again, that number is 514-489-1110.
We also offer group sessions and one-on-one peer support. Women Aware. By survivors, for survivors.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, different circles is moving. Same day, different time slot. We're now on Fridays at 9 p.m. Join me from 9 to 10 p.m. for an adventure through sound. Who knows, you might just find your next favorite song.